Dave Davies started at WHYY the way many of us did, willing to work for free.
I decided that a career in journalism would be cool if I could somehow pull it off, and I walked into the radio station and said, can I volunteer?
It was the early 1980s. He was in his late 20s by then. And you had a bunch of different jobs before that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I taught school. I worked as a welder in a shipyard. I drove a cab. I did a lot of things.
Dave learned the ropes from a newsroom he says was brimming with creativity.
We had a 30-minute, half-hour news magazine every night of the week from 6:30 to 7 called 91 Report. They were really talented people, and I learned a ton watching them.
Dave landed a full-time reporting gig, and only a few years into his journalism career, found himself covering one of the biggest Philadelphia stories of the century. This was 1985.
Good morning and welcome again to WHYY's live coverage of the public hearings of the Philadelphia Special Investigation Commission, the 11-member panel that Philadelphia...
The confrontation with the radical group MOVE, I mean, there was a long history, but in May of 1985, they had occupied a house in West Philadelphia on Osage Avenue and created so many problems that their neighbors demanded that the city come and get them out. And eventually, the city organized a huge police operation, evacuated neighbors from the community, and couldn't get the group evicted with a morning assault that included a lot of gunfire. And in the afternoon, ended up dropping an explosive on the roof, which led to a fire which went out of control, burned a block and a half of houses down, and killed 11 of the 13 MOVE members and children in the house. It was a horrific tragedy, and there was a lot of terrible official misconduct.
In the aftermath, the city created a Blue Ribbon Commission to investigate what went wrong. WHYY pitched the idea it could host the commission and broadcast the hearings live on 91 FM and TV 12.
Coming up next, live coverage of the MOVE Commission press conference.
Dave Davies from WHYY, and I would like to follow up on that point because it would seem to me that...
It was remarkable. I mean, the hearing had neighbors who felt so tormented by MOVE that they really wanted them out.
And where were those speakers in relationship to your bedroom?
Right in the window.
This was Lloyd and Lucretta Wilson, who lived adjacent to the MOVE property on Osage Avenue.
It's one thing to be two blocks away and hear it, but to live right next door... Full blast.
You know, then we had to contend with things inside our house. You know, bugs that you couldn't do anything about them. I mean, they just totally, the bugs took over our house, you know.
They had relatives of MOVE members who had died there talking about what happened.
And when you have finished weighing, assessing, judging, speak to me. My family.
This was Louise James, whose 26-year-old son was killed in the fire.
Convince us that the bombing, the cold-blooded murder of 11 human beings was justified. You can't do it, and you will never be able to do it.
Here was then Police Commissioner Gregor Sambor.
I applied the force that was necessary to exert and do the job that I was empowered and instructed to do.
This was then Fire Commissioner William Richmond.
The squirts could have knocked somebody off that roof, and until a police officer or someone told us that that's no longer a consideration, we had to be careful what those squirts were doing.
Okay, then you were waiting for someone to tell you that you could start fighting the fire, right?
Well, that's your words, and if you want to, if that's what you're looking for me to say, I can't say it.
Here was then Mayor Wilson Good answering questions from Commission member Henry Ruth, a former federal prosecutor.
If anyone had come to me and said to me, I'm going to drop a bomb on Row House, I would, in fact, have rejected that out of hand. If what you're asking me is whether or not I feel that I could have made a better decision, the answer is yes. That make mistakes in the process, the answer is yes. And you ask, I don't know what else I can say other than, Mr. Roof, I'm sorry.
That wasn't the question. Yeah. The question is, we have to find if somebody made mistakes.
Mr. Ruth?
And I didn't hear that today, and that's what I'm
sorry, sir.
A lot of people had a much deeper understanding of what led to that tragedy and how it unfolded because of what what WHYY did.
The following year, Dave left WHYY to cover City Hall for KYW News Radio, and then did a long stint at the Daily News as a political reporter. All the while, he kept up a relationship with the station as a frequent guest, and then fill-in host on Radio Times and Fresh Air.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in this week for Terry Gross.
At first, Fresh Air mostly used Dave for shows focused on politics, hard news, and sports.
But over time, he's become really good at like the whole variety of interviews that we do on Fresh Air.
Danny Miller is the longtime executive producer of Fresh Air.
He's gotten really good at interviewing actors. And they like talking to him, too. Maggie Smith, at the end of the interview, said, "Oh, Dave, you're adorable."
Do you want to take one question about Harry Potter, or would you rather be released?
I would rather be released. I think you've been adorable.
Okay, well, no. I don't know about that.
Other highlights include Jerry Seinfeld in 2007.
People use moments and lines from that series to describe what's going on in their lives. You're aware of this phenomenon.
I am, but I don't get it. I mean, it mystifies me as much as you, and I'm only happy that it's doing something for somebody.
He was exactly the guy that you see, you know, that, I know, yeah, that guy.
And Nicolas Cage in 2023.
It's been widely reported that you had, at a certain point, a lot of debts, some to the IRS, and, I mean, you have had five marriages. I mean, those are a lot of commitments. And I'm wondering, you ever thought you had an issue with impulse control?
Probably. I mean, you live and learn. And, I started very young, and thankfully I've paid everybody back, and I've worked my way out of it.
It wasn't only his great interviews and his great craft at being a broadcaster. It was also that he really cared. I mean, he really cares about the station, about the show. A total mensch when it comes to being somebody that we can and still do depend on.
There came a point where it seemed like the logical thing to do to come home. I came back in 2010 full time and never quite left.
For me and many of my contemporaries, Dave was a North Star. Always about the work, never about the BS. Do quality and be quality. And his example has now spread roots throughout the media landscape.
I remember having this idea that the best journalists had to be these like hard, tough, very gruff people.
Katie Culinary was a reporter and assistant news director here for 9 years, and now edits long-form projects for New Hampshire Public Radio.
Dave completely shattered that stereotype for me. He was just as kind as could be, you know, even when he was asking really tough questions to these sources on the phone.
Bobby Allen covered courts here and is now NPR's tech correspondent.
And sitting close to him, it was just truly an education in how to be a better journalist and a more compassionate human, not to mention how to make inroads into the corridors of power. I mean, people with influence like Dave and respond to Dave because he's almost on a cellular level, one of the fairest people I have ever met.
Looking back is not something Dave does often, mostly because, despite some of his instincts, he's still deeply immersed in the work of the present. And you've retired a few times since then.
Yeah, I retire about every 2 years. I've scaled back my kind of formal relationship with the station, but I'm always happy to come back, and I love it. I love being here, love feeling that sense of public service and just working on content that we think that is original and meaningful.